Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision, and this is a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Tuesday, January 20th, 2026, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 14. The first paragraph, Simple But Not Easy, through one paragraph, ending, Father of Light who presides over us all. We'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Kate F., 12 Traditions, Mary P. Readers of the text, Alex K., Penny L. C., and Margaret D. The reference number for Monday, January 19th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,137. That's 23137. And for this morning, Tuesday, January 20th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 23,139. That's 23139. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Chanel T., and Robin P. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I'll now ask Kate F. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. This is Kate F., recovered in Washington State. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kate F., and I'll now ask Mary P. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thanks, Dawn. This is Mary P. in Texas. These are the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning.
Thank you so much, Mary P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 14, that first paragraph, simple but not easy, through one paragraph ending, Father of Light, who presides over us all. And we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. And I'll now ask Alex K. to please read and then share with us. Good morning, Alex.
Thanks, Dawn. Thanks, everyone, for being here. I'm Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, giving her a brief for today. Simple but not easy, a price had to be paid. It meant destruction of self-centeredness. I must turn in all things to the Father of Light who presides over us all. So I asked myself, what are they talking about? What's simple but not easy? In the previous paragraph, it gives a list of essential requirements to establish and maintain a new order of things. Belief in God, willingness, honesty, humility. It's a simple, clear, uncomplicated list, but it's not easy to find these things and live this way, especially when I first came to program. It was a whole new way of life, so different from how I lived my life up till then. And my attitude has changed a lot about all of these things, and that's more evidence of the psychic change that I've experienced. God, higher power, I didn't believe in that. I thought I didn't need that or want that. Now I have a strong connection with my wonderful, loving higher power. It's the most important relationship in my life. My higher power is my constant, compassionate companion, my biggest support, who loves me unconditionally and helps me with everything. Willingness. With most things, I'd only do what was easy and convenient. I was willing to go to any lengths for my disease, but not for much else. But my willingness grew little by little from a mustard seed And today I'm willing to go to any lengths for my recovery, to put my recovery first, because I know it has to be first or nothing else goes well. Honesty. I thought I was honest. I was cash register honest, but when it came to my thinking and my emotions, I was coming from a lifetime of denial and suppressing my feelings. So it took a while to learn how to be completely honest. Today I have much more awareness and clarity about what's going on in my mind and in my heart, and I'm able to express it in a healthy way. Humility. I was closed-minded, tried to control everything, either felt inferior or superior to others. Now I accept that I'm powerless over almost everything. I'm teachable. I know that I'm equal. We're all equal and no one's better or worse. I have more self-acceptance. These all took time, but there's been lots of progress. My essentials are getting stronger. So my recovery is getting stronger. My connection to my higher power grows stronger and stronger each day. And I think I'm almost out of time. I was going to talk about the destruction of self-centeredness. My ego and my self-will used to run my life. Now they don't most of the time. My higher power is in charge, and when they pop up, which they do because I'm human, I get to turn to my higher power for a second opinion. My higher power always gives me much better guidance and helps me get out of self and back into my higher power's
time.
Peaceful, gentle flow. Thanks, everyone, for helping me with my recovery today. Pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Alex K. Beautiful way to get us started. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Wendy M.
Stephen G.
Stephen G.
Christina J.
Donna B.
Ian F.
Bruce E. All right, we'll go ahead and stop there. Beautiful lineup. I have Wendy B., Wendy M., Stephen G., Christina J., Donna B., Ian F., Bruce E. Wendy B., please go ahead and your 3 minutes start now.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And that line, simple but not easy, a price had to be paid, is just so true. And so the price I have to pay is my desire to have life on my terms, you know, and, you know, that desire has to be sacrificed. You know, it isn't easy, and I have a strong-willed personality that I have to bring into subjection every day. And I have to put myself in a humble posture before God. You know, I have to remind myself that I was created to serve God, you know, to bring Him glory, not me. And, you know, I'm not God. And my worldview had to change. You know, I naturally see the world through my eyes. You know, I interpret events according to my thinking, and everything revolves around me, you know, and I'm the center of my universe. And so, you know, the new order of things, the new footing, you know, is seeing things through God's perspective. You know, I need to spend time with Him to get familiar with His perspective. I need to hear His voice and listen to His direction and yield to His guidance. And miraculously, you know, I've matured and grown out of that self-centered focus. My selfish perspective has shifted, and I can see those around me as God's children too. You know, and I can have understanding and empathy for others, and I can enjoy serving others and being a good team player and letting others excel. And, you know, I no longer have to be the best, you know, and I can recognize their good qualities and let them know, you know, I can edify and bless them, you know. And, I mean, it's still not easy, you know. I need to keep doing the work, you know, to keep this way of life, that, you know, this new perspective. And I'm just so grateful for God's transforming work in us. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. from Arizona. Wendy M., it's your turn, followed by Stephen G.
This is Wendy M. I'm so grateful to be on this call this morning. And thank you, Don, for your service and Alex for your opening. Yeah, you know, destruction of self-centeredness. I go back to page 14 all the time because I'm swimming in selfishness, right? The whole book is the death of self, right? And that's a simple concept, sure. And I think I'll give it to God. But doing it, right? Like doing that, right? Being willing, for example, this morning, like, oh no, I'm going to say something. It's about to come out of my mouth and it's not going to be kind. No. And not doing it. Go to God. God, I can't do this, but you can. They say that, like, doing this program 98% of the time is a bitch, but doing it 100% of the time is a breeze, right? Like, we're 2% away, you know, not opening up my mouth, not getting those 8 seconds of I'm right, you're wrong, right? That satisfaction. And what are we doing here? We're transforming. We're changing, right? Like, and it feels so good to be out of self. To be in self is so uncomfortable. I always say this, it's itchy and scratchy. When I am in dishonest self-seeking, selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and afraid, those are all manifestations of self, right? All of it is self. So how do we do this thing? How do we get out of self? Well, we have this design for living, right? Where it's so simple. Like, we literally just have to turn our heads just 2% over to God and say, I can't, you can. And it feels so good to not open my mouth and say that thing so I can be right for 8 seconds and they can be wrong. And when I don't do that, when I don't blame and shame and gossip and whatever's coming out of my mouth, right? Or whatever I'm putting in my mouth, right? 8 seconds of pleasure with a particular food, right? I'm in self. And it's so simple. Is it easy to keep my mouth shut? Is it easy to get out of self? Is it easy to say, maybe I don't know? Beautiful word. Maybe I don't know. Maybe I could have an open mind today. Maybe I don't have to think, like, trust my thinking, right? My thinking is distorted. Every time I wake up, it's a distorted thought until it's not, right? It feels so good to be inconvenienced and help somebody else. What's it like to be them? Not what it's like to be Wendy, right? And I've been swimming in self my whole life, right? Pages 60 to 63, running the show out of fear. Fear is just self. And all I have to do is say, God, please remove this fear. I can't do it. I cannot figure it out. I cannot do it. You take my fear. You take my dishonesty. You take my selfishness.
Time.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Don, for being of service, and I pass.
Oh, thank you, Wendy M. from Colorado. If you're just joining us, we're talking about page 14, that first paragraph, simple but not easy, through one paragraph ending, Father of Light who presides over us all. Stephen G., it's your turn to share, followed by Christina J.
Thanks, Dawn. Thanks for your service. Thanks to everybody that's shared before. I'm Stephen G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Yeah, you know, it's hard for me to believe, or would have been hard for me to believe, that the solution to my problem is the destruction of self-centeredness. And what does that mean? It means that I'm no longer the director of my life. I'm no longer the director of other people's lives. I'm no longer the director of the world. And God is now the director of my life. God is now the director of other people's lives. And God is now the director of the world. But I would have no idea how to destroy that self-centeredness, but the book shows me how to do that. I must put down my alcoholic foods and ingredients. I must go through the process of step 4 through 9. And then I must continue to do those things in step 10, 11, and 12. And of course, I don't really want to do those things, but I've been backed into a corner. And when I'm fully backed into a corner, then my mind is very open to new ideas. And what I find is something that I didn't expect, which is real freedom, not just from the food, but freedom from all the chaos that I would normally produce in my life. And it talks about this idea of turning to the Father of the light in all things. Now, what does that mean? It means that not just the food, it means in my employment, it means in my friendships, it means in my relationships with family, it means all sorts of things, that I lack power in all those areas of my life. And of course, that's not my normal way of thinking. I want to use my own mind and try to solve those problems. The book is telling me I can't do that properly. I can't do that in an effective way. And the way to do that is by turning to God. And it's simple, but it's not easy because it's not my natural way of thinking. And because of this, the pain and suffering of this disease, I become open-minded to all sorts of things. And thank God for that. Thanks for listening.
Thank you so much, Stephen G. from Toronto, Canada. Christina J., it's your turn, followed by Donna B.
Good morning, it's Christina J. You know, I was just about to pass because everybody has said everything that I was thinking and feeling. But this thing about self-centeredness, you know, how do we become self-centered? And I have to tell you, I became self-centered as a little girl when I couldn't control the trauma around me. It was devastating my little heart. I didn't understand it. And so some part of me, in a way to grab control, to try to navigate this strange, dark place I lived in with my family, began to become self-centered, began to say, well, I've got to protect myself. I've got to move forward with getting what I need. And in that, I learned a lot of things from the world about manipulation to try to get love, to try to control fears by fixing things. I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to move forward in a way that I don't have to feel that pain anymore from that childhood. I don't have to be afraid that someone else is going to get theirs and I'm not. I don't have to be afraid that I can't get love when I really need love. I needed love so badly, and I was so lonely. Even in my first marriage of 20 years, I lived with an abusive man. He was emotionally abusive and it began to get physical. I had married my mother and father. I wanted to be perfect so the world would love. Oh, this is all self-centered stuff, right? And through program, I've been able to slowly let all this go. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing, this program. It helps us really look at stuff. It's not a one and done. And it took me a long time to realize that I was running my life in this self-centered place. And as I began to have this relationship with the Father of Light, what a beautiful, beautiful phrase, Father. A father I never had in a human life. I turned to this presence within me more and more and more, and it's light, it's love, it's warmth. And I can see he continually shines the light on where I'm still stuck in the little self-centered little girlness. We can't blame ourselves for all this self-centeredness that we discover, uncover. You know, this program helps us to begin to maybe not discard it, but see it for what it is, and it dissipates. We can't get rid of it. God helps us. And in the next paragraph, they're going to talk about the, you know, the Great Awakening a little bit. And I didn't have it like that. It took me a long time. And I had to wallow in those wounds and begin to see where I was still holding on to the wound and still not living my life fully and turning to the food from the uncomfortableness of all that. So we don't just, you know, we can't blame ourselves for being self-centered. And God shows us, and let me talk about myself, God shows me every day when I get stuck in that again, and I get to unveil it in my 11th step especially, and give it to God. So I guess God did want me to share on this. So be gentle with yourselves, and just take the steps and work the program in a very gentle, peaceful way, and you'll get there. Love you all. I pass.
Wow, thank you so much, Christina J. from Washington. Donna B., it's your turn, followed by Ian F.
Good morning. This is Donna B., spelled D-A-N-A. I'm a compulsive overeater, bulimic, and restrictor calling from Denver, Colorado. I made a mistake at work yesterday. It wasn't a big mistake. It was a small mistake, and I spoke to the chair of my board and the vice chair of my board, and they were so kind and so supportive and offered me so much grace. I was certainly beating myself up well beyond what the incident called for. My vice chair suggested to me that when working with this particular person, that no matter what she suggests or what she says, I should always default to the response, "Let me think about it." And boy, does that sound familiar. We have slogans like pause, think, 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 not just one think, but three things. And this reminder to turn in all things to the Father of Light who presides over us all. And I responded to my vice chair that her suggestion of defaulting to "let me think about it and get back to you" is the most reasonable response, suggestion. Like, there's absolutely no fault in that. And it aligns entirely with what I'm learning in this way of living. And yet I said to her, "I feel as though you're asking me to give up an addiction. I wish I could look you in the eye and say, yes, I will do that. But I don't know that I can. I would like to be a person who pauses and asks God for the next right thought or action on all things. And yet, is it my arrogance? Is it my egotisticalism? I don't even know if that's a word. Is it my urgency to get things done? Is it my type A personality? Is it my ism that I'm restless, irritable, and discontent until every single thing is checked off my list? It's not my innate nature. And every morning upon awakening, I ask for the power to turn to God, and it just isn't always there. So I will keep coming back. Thank you for letting me share."
Thank you so much, Donna B. from Colorado. Ian F., it's your turn, followed by Bruce E.
Hi, my name is Ian F. I'm a compulsive overeater from Indiana. Really grateful to be here. And I'm sick today, which I mentioned because there's a certain amount of, I would say necessary self-centeredness is probably not the best way to put it, but an experience of being sick where all of your philosophies about what should I get done today and how, you know, how should I do it and how should I act are kind of quite erased, right? Because you just physically do not have the power. And I woke up this morning and my morning review every day, regardless of how I'm feeling, you know, is essentially looking at who is the person God wants me to be today? And the answer was incredibly simple, right? It was rest and, you know, get work done if you can, but prioritize rest. Pick up the phone if someone calls, you know, simple stuff. Something that I've noticed about working this program for about 4 years is that I love philosophy and I love to think and my brain is always going, but the answer to any question that I have when I'm conflicted about what to do is almost the correct one is almost always the simplest one. And the question of who am I supposed to be and how am I supposed to get there, it's always, always a simple answer. And so when I'm freaking out, as often I do, I think everybody does, right? It's easy to sound wise for like 3 minutes on a share, but you know, we're all bumbling around as best we can. That's a question I have to ask myself is like, what is the simplest answer here? You know, and can I trust that today? And that's all I got. That's what's rattling around. I love you guys. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Ian F. from Indiana. And we're talking about page 14 today, that first paragraph, simple but not easy, through one paragraph ending, Father of Light who presides over us all. So after Bruce E. shares, I will be taking some more names. So Bruce, please share with us.
I want to say amen on that one. The Father of Light who presides us over us all. I'm Bruce. I'm a recovering food addict in Southwest Florida. And this simple but not easy, a price had to be paid. It means destruction of self-centeredness. So, yeah, I was looking at that. I was saying, well, what's the price that has to be paid? It's going to take my time, or is it going to have to do the steps? Is that what it's talking about? But I really think the price that has to be paid is the destruction of self-centeredness. That's a big price. Man, that's more than money, right? It's big. It's huge. And I don't know how to do it, except just keep doing this stuff. You know, prayer meetings, sponsoring, big book. And all of that simple, I heard once, somebody said a long time ago, complicated program. It's a simple program for complicated people. And I'm a complicated person, so I gotta keep it simple and not complicate this thing. But it's not easy in that it takes time. And this thing about the price that has to be paid on self-centeredness, that's not easy either. That's a big price, because I've been self-centered all my life. And there's somebody who's talking earlier about honesty. Well, I'm a cheat, liar, and a thief, so I gotta figure out how to keep this thing simple and get out of this thing and get out of this self-centeredness. So, but who helps turn to Him, turn in all things to the Father of Light, who presides over us all? Be kind to yourself. Be kind to myself. And be kind to myself. God presides over me, and He's the Father of Light. He turns the light on. He turns the switch on when there isn't any light. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Bruce E. from Florida. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shared every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Larry G.
I heard Larry G. And who came before Larry?
Laura W.
Laura W. Who else?
Diane B.
And who else would like to share? Got Larry G. Joan Marie M.
Yes. Thank you.
Very good. Okay. I have Larry G., Laura W., Diane B., and Joan Marie M. Larry G., please go ahead.
Thank you, Don. This is Larry G., recovered for this moment. Not the rest of the day, but just for this moment. And I am live in California. If you've ever wondered, like I have in the past, exactly what is the purpose of the Big Book, well, Bill lays it out here. It's pretty simple. Destruction of ego. And once that happens, we then begin the road of recovery to developing a relationship with a power greater than ourselves. And however that looks, however you want to define that. But that's it. That's the Big Book right there. It's clear and simple. And the price to be paid, yeah, there is a price to pay. And I think we do a disservice sometimes to the new person going right into the solution and not spending enough time for that person to understand the problem. I didn't understand the problem. I understood the problem in Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't understand the problem in OA. I thought I had an allergy to the body, but I never thought I had an abnormal mind. You know, I didn't want to consider that. You know, somebody who's well-read, has a master's, well-traveled, had a high, in a career with high performance, how could I have an abnormal mind? But I do. I have an abnormal mind when it comes to food. I have an abnormal mind when it comes to measuring and weighing. I think differently than somebody who can take a pinch of a brownie and put it down. I can't do that. And so I surrender to the doctor's opinion. And there is a price to pay. I don't want to lie to you. This is not the soft or easier way. It's just not. It's hard in the beginning. You have to detox off of flour and sugar or the drug of your choice, whatever your alcoholic food is. You've got to detox off that. It took me 60 days. I felt like I was coming off a crack. There was some morning I thought I was going insane. The craving was so awful. But I had a sponsor, and I had some interest on a deep level, and every moment that I had of abstinence from my alcoholic foods was precious. I was not going to give it up this time, no matter what. And so in the beginning, there is a lot of work, tremendous amount of work. We're up against a ferocious disease, and taking a gentle, softer way, I've done that all my life. It doesn't work. I have to do what's asked of me. And if you're new and you don't know what that is, then there'll be some sponsors. And at the end of this call, call them and ask them what that is. But there's a price to pay for this disease too. And it's ultimately 100 times greater, 1,000 times greater. Now today, it does not seem like work to me. I love, for example, working with the sponsees, the men I work with. I am so inspired by them. They're amazing men, and they're willing, and they're doing the work, and they help me to be a better sponsor, be a better person, and to work harder in this program. So it's not hard work. It's actually enjoyable. Why? Because this morning, I put a pair of pants on, sweatpants that I haven't worn, that I kept. I was not going to get rid of these. I put it on and they're loose. And I can bend over without, feeling I have split my spleen. And I'm going back to a church that I had tremendous hatred towards. And I'm finding things I'm enjoying about that. And I said goodbye to my wife this morning, and I love her more than life itself. And we have a relationship now that is both of us are based on the principle of this big book. I can go on and on. My grandson called me yesterday. He was worried about me after the Chicago Bears lost. And what 13-year-old does that? I can tell you none of those things would have happened in my life without destruction of ego. And it continually to be dismantled as we speak. I'm never going to be completely done with that deal. And, of course, I'm a power greater myself. And with that, I pass to you, Don. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Larry G. from California. Laura W., it's your turn to share, followed by Diane B.
Thanks, Don. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic, and I live in South Jersey. It's great to be on the meeting live. The previous paragraph talked about having a new relationship with my creator. And, it's the creator of your understanding. It's the God of your understanding. It's the father of light of your understanding. And, simple but not easy, a price had to be paid. Well, the price for me is that I had to learn that the same person is going to eat again, is going to restrict again, is going to purge again, is going to starve again, is going to drink again. The same person is going to relapse. So that meant that what had to change was everything for me. My beliefs, my actions, my thoughts, everything that I once thought was right about food, weight, and exercise had to literally do a reverse. And I had to think, do, and behave the opposite. And it's almost like, well, you think you know what you want? You think you know what the right thing is for your body, Laura? Do the opposite. And for 21 years now, that has gotten better and better. It's worked, and I must turn all things to the Father of Light. And for me, that's surrender. Surrender to God. Surrender my, have some willingness to follow direction. Oh, my God, that's so hard for me. Follow direction. Well, I like to, do my own thing. I think I like to, live my own life and do what I think is right and do what I want to do and program, the steps tell me no. I have to think of others. I have to do for others. I have to get out of self. I can't do what I always want to do. I need to do stuff that's uncomfortable every single day. And, you know, it's a must. There's like 19 musts in the first 164 pages. You know, the writers didn't like to be bossy and tell us what we have to do, but sure, it sure as heck here says, I must turn in all things to the Father of Light. So if I don't turn my willingness, my behaviors, and my power over to my higher power, the same person's gonna relapse. So, you know, when things go wrong and life happens and life gets really tough and stressful, I need to remember that I'm not in control. The price that is paid is that I have to be a different person. I have to take my disease seriously. I've got to practice the principles, not just weigh and measure my food. It's not a diet or calories club. It's a matter of life and death for me. And I'm able to handle hard times abstinently when I turn things over to my higher power, to God. And it's not always easy. It takes a little while sometimes. It doesn't happen all the time right away. But I have a spiritual defense. I don't have a mental defense. I have a spiritual defense. So grateful to be here. Thanks, everybody, for sharing, and have a great day. I pass.
Thank you so much, Laura W. from New Jersey. Diane B., it's your turn to share, followed by Joan Marie M.
Thank you. Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everyone who's here today. This is Diane B., grateful to be recovered in snowy and freezing cold Tarrytown, New York. What I wanted to talk about is that, you know, I'm from New York, and so I use humor and I use sarcasm to deflect and to make light of situations that perhaps sometimes it's inappropriate, but this is what I do, and I'm learning how not to do that. So, you know, it says that this is simple but not easy. You know, I joke around and say, it's all about me, right? This, everything, whatever the situation is or whatever's going on, it's all about me, because that's my humor and my sarcasm, which, of course, you know, we know it's not all about me, although I have always thought that the world revolved around me. And so with the ego reduction, you know, the death of self, that has been quite a journey for me, and not always an easy thing to learn, and definitely not always an easy thing to practice. And recently I've been hearing a lot about being uncomfortable. So initially I was extremely uncomfortable when I initially was getting abstinent, when I was initially doing the steps, when I was learning how to live a more healthy life using these 12 steps, these simple, you know, the toolkit of simple tools. But I still have moments where things that are going on are not comfortable for me. You know, when I was in the disease, I became comfortable with the discomfort of being a fat body, the discomfort of not being able to find clothes, the discomfort of not being in a relationship, the discomfort of having issues with people I worked with over my family members. But I became comfortable in that discomfort. And today I'm stepping out of that. I'm learning how to step out of that realm and expanding my comfort zone, as we say. But I also have to remember that there are going to be times when I have to be uncomfortable. The good thing today is that I don't turn to the food when I'm uncomfortable. I turn to higher power. And that's the Father of Light in this paragraph. It's called the Father of Light. And every morning I have to do my morning meditation with my steps. Every morning I ask that, you know, please God, show me the way, help me to maintain my abstinence, help me to be useful, help me to be useful to other people in my life. How can I be of service to you and to my fellows? It's not always comfortable. There's many times when I have to just live with that discomfort, and I have tools and I have steps and I've got fellows to help me in those times, and that is such a new thing for me. So the destruction of self-centeredness, the death of myself, of the ego reduction that has been going on, it's an ongoing process. It's time. Not one and done. Okay, thank you. Sorry, with that I pass.
Thank you so much, Diane B. from New York. Joan Marie M., it's your turn to share.
Thank you, Dawn. Joan Marie M. from Nevada. Glad to be on the line. Living in recovery today, because when I wasn't, it was very dark. and I don't want to go there. So, Father of Light, I wanted to talk about that. In my spirit, I heard one time when I was single and alone, and what I heard was, you never had a father on this earth, but I'm your father. And to me, a father is one that instructs me and teaches me and is loving and kind and wants me to succeed and is there rooting me on and showing me the way to live. And that's what those steps do. These steps teach me how to live, especially 10, 11, and 12, to live in joy and peace and goodness and kindness. And I can't do that in my own natural nature. It's God in me. And I'm so grateful for this program, for all the shares that I hear, because I keep on learning about myself. And I'm grateful. That's all I can say. And thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Joan Marie M. from Nevada. Well, we have time for a minute and a half share. Is there someone who would like to take that spot who hasn't shared in the last few days?
Luann C.
Luann C., go for it.
Hey, hey, Don. Hey, everybody. Yeah, I was just thinking that, you know, if I was a newcomer or when I was a newcomer and I saw this, I love this small paragraph, but when I looked at it, I was like, hey, you know, I'm here to lose some weight. I'm not trying to get a humanitarian award, you know, just tell me how to lose the weight. And it is daunting, but at the same time, I wanted the recovery. So I just wanted to emphasize how important it is to have a sponsor, somebody who has been through the book, has gotten the change, the psychic change, and understands this as a textbook to guide me through things that I didn't understand. Because as a newcomer, I looked at that, I didn't understand the problem at that point. And so I needed somebody who understood the problem and understood how this book explains it and has a way out to guide me. So, you know, if you're new, or maybe you're coming back, but you didn't do it this way before, you know, to just, you know, have the courage to relax and just ask somebody for help to get through and to get an understanding of what is the problem inside of us. So anyway, I'm just so grateful today to be in this program, and thanks everybody for all the great shares today. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Luann C. from Idaho, and to everyone who shared, making this just a very powerful meeting. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Penny L. C. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, thank you, Don. Thank you for your service. This is Penny L. C. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. Excuse me. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your path. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.